So this week in Israel is Bahar, and next week is Bechukotai. These two parashiyot, as we'll see, are very closely connected to each other in a certain way. You see the first pasuk in the sheet, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor. Now you have to remember, this is the parasha Bahar. This is the parasha Bahar. And everybody wonders, what this idea that Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe the Har Sinai, I mean, what does Har Sinai have to do with ongoing tradition from God to Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael? It was generally it is assumed that the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael in three parts, or on three occasions. One is called Har Sinai. We received a certain amount of Torah. Now you know that Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai twice. The first time he and Bnei Yisrael received the Aseret HaDibrot. Now Chazal cut that down. Not all the Aseret HaDibrot, but maybe the first two of the Dibrot. Maybe the first one of the Dibrot. Just Anochi. That's the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai. And he came down with the Luchot and smashed them. All of that has what that means, whatever it means. The second time that Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai, he went up on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. He came down with Luchot HaEvan, right, with stone tablets on which they were Aseret HaDibrot, plus other things. How do I know that Moshe Rabbeinu came down to Har Sinai with other things? Because if you remember Shmot, after Mishpatim, the parasha of Mishpatim, comes Truma and Tetzaveh. After Truma and Tetzaveh comes Ki Tisa. After Ki Tisa comes Vayakel Pekudei. Vayakel Pekudei is Moshe Rabbeinu telling Bnei Yisrael to build the Mishkan, the tabernacle. So that Moshe Rabbeinu, immediately after he came down from Har Sinai, had something to say. He had something to tell Bnei Yisrael. What does that have to do with Shemitah, which is what we're talking about in the Parsha Bahar, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor? And what follows is, or are, psukim about Shemitah. A lot of psukim about Shemitah. So again, I know that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Bnei Yisrael something immediately after he came down from the mountain of Sinai. That something had to do with the Mishkan. And then after that, Moshe Rabbeinu taught them what he heard in Oel Moed, in the tent that he built in the Mishkan. The Mishkan had a central structure called Oel Moed. And in the Oel Moed, or outside of the Oel Moed, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to stand and receive information that we call Torah, which he passed on to Bnei Yisrael. So that's Sinai, and then Oel Moed. And the third place that the Torah was given, so to speak, to Bnei Yisrael, is Arvot Moab. Arvot Moab is the eastern side of the Jordan River, parallel more or less to Jericho. So the place where the Jews passed or over the river Jordan to go from the eastern bank of the Jordan River to the western bank of the Jordan River. So that place, the place they jumped off from, is called Arvot Moab. In Arvot Moab, Moshe Rabbeinu made speeches, which include most of the book of Devarim. And the book of Devarim includes, again, a lot of mitzvot. that we only know about from the book of Dvarim, even though the first pasuk in Dvarim, if you remember, Eile HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe, the words of Moshe. Now that's like a brain crusher. Like, why would the Torah say it's the words of Moshe when it's really the words of God? In any event, be that as it may, that background is necessary. Let's go back to our pasuk. There's an introduction to the parasha of Shemitah, and the introduction includes the fact that it's Bahar Sinai. Bahar Sinai is a geographic location. It's where Matan Torah took place. Matan Torah is the revelation that indicated to B'nai Yisrael that God is going to give them a Torah. This is not something that's so obvious. Okay, now if you look at the next, another problem, besides trying to figure out what Bahar Sinai means, there's a pasuk, the next thing on the sheet, by Yikra Perikov Zayin Pasuk Lamed Aleph. This is the last pasuk in the book of Vayikra. The last pasuk in the book of Vayikra says, Eila mitzvot asher tzivah Hashem et Moshe b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai. The last pasuk. So if I had to figure out what the last pasuk meant, I would say b'har Sinai, all the Torah that was supposed to be given at Har Sinai was given to b'nei Yisrael. That includes the end of the book of Shemot, which is about the Mishkan, the book of Vayikra and Tzav, about the Korbanot that are given in the Mishkan. Shmini is about completing the Mishkan. Then Tazria Metzorach Remot Kedoshim is about Tumah V'Tahara, which also are like mitzvot, right? And then Behar B'Chukotai, Shemitah, Eved Ivri, other things. So let's look again. There's a new question that we could ask. If in fact everything in the Torah, Shemot and Vayikra, was given Bahar Sinai, that's the last pasuk of Vayikra, why do I need another pasuk to tell me that the beginning of Bahar was given Bahar Sinai, if everything was given Bahar Sinai? That's the question. Now, if you look at Shemot Perikav Gimel is the Parashat Mishpatim. You remember the Parashat Mishpatim comes after the Parashat Yitro. The Parashat Yitro, right, is a Parashat of Revelation. And the Parashat of Mishpatim is about acceptance. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu came to B'nai Yisrael and says, do you accept? Where the Torah says that do you accept is based on something that they knew about the Torah. They knew something about the Torah. What they knew about the Torah was the Parashat Mishpatim. A lot of dinim, a lot of different dinim. Now in the Parashat Mishpatim, in this Parashat which is called Brit, Sefer HaBrit, the agreement between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and B'nai Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say to B'nai Yisrael, do you accept the Torah? And they didn't know what that was, which probably would render the agreement irrelevant. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do you accept the Torah? And here's an example. Here's a little bit of Torah for you, so you could base your acceptance on something real. Again, Har Sinai is theophany. It's the time that B'nai Yisrael understood that it could happen, that there could be a transfer of information from God to B'nai Yisrael, a demand from God to B'nai Yisrael, but it was limited to Anochi and Losi, the Yelecha. It was very limited in its content. And then Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted B'nai Yisrael to agree that they would accept the Torah. And the way he presented it was by saying, look, here's Torah. Here's an example. The whole parasha of Mishpatim is Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu presented to Bnei Yisrael so they could say Naaseh v'nishma. You remember? Naaseh v'nishma. Like they have to say Naaseh v'nishma on something. So they learned the Torah of Mishpatim that was offered to them, to Bnei Yisrael. And in that parasha of Mishpatim, there are these psukim. Sheishanim tizra'at artsecha ve'asavta tzvuata. You should grow things in your fields and collect the wheat. Vashvi'it, and on the seventh year, the sabbatical year, tishbeten of nitashta. You have to let it lie fallow. The seventh year, and then you have to, it has to be kind of hefker, free for everybody, even the poor people. Whatever is left will be eaten up by the animals. This is what you do to your vines and to the olives, olive groves, olive trees. Sheshet yamim ta'aseh ma'asecha. 6 days, do what you have to do. B'yom ha'shvi'i tishbot, and on the seventh day you should rest. L'man yanuch shorcha v'chamecha v'yinefesh ben avatcha v'ager. So you see from these psukim that there's an obligation of shmita. Again, where are we? Parshat Mishpatim. The parasha that was the basis for the acceptance of the Torah. You know, in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu said, here's a little Torah. Can you say Naaseh v'nishma? And Bnei Yisrael said, yes. And in that little bit of Torah, there are two psukim about Shemitah, about the Shemitah year. The third pasuk says the Shemitah year is just like Shabbat, which is an important statement. Now, in the parasha of Behar, this week's parasha, there's a very lengthy exposition about Shemitah and Yovel. So that means that if I wanted to compare it, I would say that Mishpatim, the story of Mishpatim, in Mishpatim is Klalim. Generalities, not a lot of details. Whereas in Behar, we have a lot of pratim. I mean, considering the fact that this is not the way the Torah usually works, you have to remember that the actual statement about Shabbat in the Torah is Lo Tavaru Eish B'Kol Mashru Techem B'Kol Shabbat, which certainly does not tell you everything you want to know about the Shabbat. Here you have a situation. You have a situation where Shemitah is first taught in Mishpatim as a general statement. There you have to keep the Shemitah 6 years and 7 years. Let everything lie fallow. And in Behar, Pratim, more details, and okay, let's look at that Rashi. The Rashi is a tough nut here to crack, but we'll do it. Ma'anyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Famous, I mean, in modern Hebrew, people say that. Sometimes, if you have time, you know, like in modern Hebrew, if you want to say, what are you talking about? You know, like you say, Ma'anyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. That's, of course, if you have literary patience and are willing to say 5 words. So what's the question? Ma'inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Why does this pasuk, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe b'Har Sinai Limor, say that it's b'Har Sinai? Because we know that the end of Bechukotai, there's a pasuk that says that everything is b'Har Sinai. That's the question. All the mitzvot in the Torah came from Sinai. How does he know that? How does Rashi know that, or the Medrash that Rashi's quoting know that? Because that's what it says at the end of Bechukotai, the end of next week's parsha, which should have been, which might have been. I mean, again, I don't. I know that this is problematic, but I mean, it might have been that the end of Vayikra would have been the end of the Torah, as we know it. Vayikra would have been the end of the Torah, right? I say this once every couple of months. Because after the end of Vayikra, they were supposed to, Bnei Yisrael was supposed to go into Eretz Canaan. And that would have been kind of the end. And that's why the parsha Bechukotai, next week's parsha, right, is also the parsha of a brit, of a covenant. The covenant says, if you keep the mitzvot, everything will be good. And if you don't keep the mitzvot, everything's going to be terrible. That's what it says in the parsha Bechukotai. And then along came the Meraglim, and the Meraglim said, don't go. And Bnei Yisrael said, okay, so we won't go. So by denying the demand that they should go to Eretz Canaan, they also denied the Brit. And that's when finally, 38 years later, when they did go into Eretz Canaan, there was a new Brit. Right? I said this before, but I just think, you know, I'm not sure it's like gets in there. There's a new Brit in the parish of Kitavo. Even though Chazal look at these two parashiyot and they say, well, there's certain small differences, but for us, they are basically the same. The parish of Bechukotai and the parish of Kitisa. So what do I need the parish of Kitisa? I'm sorry, Kitavo. Why do I need the parish of Kitavo if I have the parish of Bechukotai? Because the parish of Bechukotai was cancelled. The agreement was undone somehow. They didn't agree to go to Eretz Yisrael. The whole agreement of Bechukotai was, if you do good, you'll stay in Eretz Canaan, and if you don't do good, you're going to be exiled from Eretz Canaan. So they decided not to go to Eretz Canaan. So the Brit, or the covenant, or the agreement was undone. It was undone, and done again in the parasha of Kitavo, before they actually did go to Eretz Yisrael. This time not under the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, but under the leadership of Yehoshua ben Nun, right? So you have it like a summary of the entire Torah. Back to Rashi. Elamash mitan nemru klalotel pratotel v'tiktukel misinai. Is this true? Elamash mitan nemru klalotel. So where's klalotel of Shemitah? I think in the parasha of Mishpatim. In the parasha of Mishpatim, remember, parasha of Mishpatim, it says Shemitah. You should have Shemitah. 6 years you work, 7th year it lies fallow. That's Shemitah. But Diktukeha, right? Pratotel v'diktukeha. How do I know that Pratotel v'diktukeha also be Sinai? I know that from here. From the parasha of Bahar. The Bahar is Pratotel v'diktukeha. Af kulan nemru kalotel v'diktukeha v'sinai. And then Rashi says, kakshnu yabit torat kohanim. Torat kohanim is the halachic medrash on Vayikra, Torat Kohanim. It's also called Sifra. Sometimes it's called Torat Kohanim, sometimes it's called Sifra. Sifra means the book, right? The book of Vayikra. The medrash halacha on Bamidbar and Dvarim is called Sifrei. Books, two of them, right? Sifrei. So Rashi says, I don't know, you know, it's hard to tell with Rashi when there's a reference, whether Rashi wrote the reference or some eager beaver who was putting it out. I mean, we don't know. I mean, there are no Rashi manuscripts. There are manuscripts later than Rashi that copy Rashi. There are, you know, the difference between Rashi. There are no manuscripts that Rashi himself wrote, or even somebody very close to Rashi might have written. We don't have such manuscripts.
Do we know what happened to them?
Do I know?
No, do we know? Do we know what happened?
I don't know.
Is it known what happened to
them? I'll make it up if you want. What happened to everything? Everything gets thrown away. It was the monks who were taught that in order to lead reasonable lives, they should sit at a shtender and copy things all day long. So the monks preserved a lot of books. But even with all of their efforts, we still don't have any manuscripts of Rashi. So I don't know. I don't know what happened to it. But I could imagine. Okay, Kachshu Yabitorat Koinim. All I just wanted to say was that when there's a reference in Rashi, it's hard to know if Rashi wrote the reference or if somebody else wrote the reference. V'nira li shekach perusha. Nira li. This is Rashi. Nira li is Rashi talking. Shekach perusha. Lefi shelo matzin l'shmita karkaot. So let's understand. Mishneh Torah. What's Mishneh Torah?
Devarim.
The Book of Devarim. And what's special about the Book of Devarim? It's Moshe Rabbeinu talking. That's what's special about the Book of Devarim and differentiates it from the other books of the Torah. And this is clearly stated. Eila Devarim Asher Diber Moshe. Right, that's what the Torah itself says about the book of Devarim. So he says, "Akshav Arvot Moav is the place that Moshe Rabbeinu declaimed the book of Devarim." Whereas again, there's the Jordan River. On the west side of the Jordan River is Yericho. The east side of the Jordan River is Avot Moab. So they were sort of in their final launching place, B'nai Yisrael. We're going to launch into Eretz Canaan from Avot Moab. And it's in Avot Moab that Moshe Rabbeinu said all of these things that he said that are in the book of Devarim. Right? So let's go back. V'nir Ali. You see V'nir Ali, the third line. The end of the line. V'nir Ali shekach perusha. Lefi shelo matzinu shmitat karkaot shenishneit be'arvot Moab b'mishneh Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was repeating things in the Torah, in the book of Devarim, did not repeat the halachot of shmitat karkaot. Where are they found? In Behar and Mishpatim, but they're not found in Devarim. What is found in Devarim? Shmitat Ksafim. Shmitat Ksafim is found in Devarim, but not Shmitat Karkaot. Again, Rashi says, Shenishneit Ba'avot Moab B'shnei Torah, Lamadnu Sheklaloteha upratoteha kulan nemru misinai. In other words, according to Rashi, why does it say Bahar Sinai at the beginning of the Parsha Bahar? In order to teach us that klalim and pratim, general statements and particular statements, are all come from Har Sinai. Where's the general statement of Shemitah? In Mishpatim, in Book of Shemot. Where's the Pratim?
Yeah.
It's in Bahar. The Pratim are in Bahar. Again, let's look at the Rashi again. Kulam Nemu B'Sinai. Uba Katuv V'Lamad Kan Al kol dibur shenidbar leMoshe sheMisinai ayu kulam klalotem v'tiktuvayim v'chazru v'nishnu b'avot Moab. So I don't understand what Rashi means. About everything was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, the klalim and the pradim. It could be that when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, you know, if you say, and I hear, I'm not sure, I don't want to create confusion, but everybody is an adult. If you say that Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai learned the entire Torah, right? So I said, okay, he learned the entire Torah, but did he learn the parasha of Bilam? In other words, history is problematic. What reason could there have been for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to teach Moshe Rabbeinu history, which would then just deny free will? What would be the point of that? So it seems to me that it's easier to say that Moshe Rabbeinu learned everything in the Torah that has to do with halacha, klalim, and pratim. But he knew it in whatever order he learned it in. He didn't know it in the way it appears in the Torah. Then, in Ohel Moed, when they built the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu the text of the Torah that would be transmitted to Bnei Yisrael. The text, the actual wording of it, and that text included the history that had passed yesterday, up to yesterday, that history. So according to Rashi, this teaches us that Moshe Rabbeinu learned all that there was to learn about the demands of the Torah. Moshe Rashi does not relate to the question of history, right? But it seems to me that history would not easily be included in that learning on Har Sinai, but it would be included when Moshe Rabbeinu received the text of the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch. Text of the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch. Now there's one more thing that I would like to...
When did Moshe Rabbeinu receive the text? When did Moshe Rabbeinu receive the text of the Torah?
In Ohel Moed. He came into Ohel Moed. Oh, he was outside of the Ohel Moed. And he heard the voice of God telling him the Torah. And then he taught that Torah to Bnei Yisrael. So that Torah... Look, Rashi says that Bnei Yisrael knew all the stories of the Avot until the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh that took place at the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim. That's when the new Torah began. But the old Torah, the Torah of Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, was known to Bnei Yisrael. So this idea that there is a Torah before the Torah is not so odd. It was Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Torah, but he didn't really know the Torah.
And the text of the Torah or the stories of the Torah?
Well, in Breishit, up till the Chodesh Zerachem, it's all stories.
The form that we are familiar with it, the text of it?
It doesn't sound that way from Rashi, but you know, if you wanted to make the argument, you probably could. I don't know. I think not. I don't think they had a Torah, that Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim had a Torah, but they had a tradition. They knew Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov, and they were able to work off of that.
And then when did we get the text?
That's the what?
Same question.
The text they got at the end, and the Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to them.
All the years.
Avot Moab was finished. The Torah was finished in Avot Moab, and or it was written down. In other words, there's a machloket that the Gemara in Gittin about whether the Torah was written all at once in Avot Moab, or as Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah during the 38 years, each time another parasha, they wrote it down, and it was completed in our Avodah Zarah. That's a machloket that's in the Gemara, right? Which means that we can't respond to that. We don't have any evidence that we could use to decide one way or the other. But everybody agrees that what we call the Torah or a Sefer Torah came to be in our Avodah Zarah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu's great work was, and it was completed in our Avodah Zarah. That everybody says that. Right? And Bnei Yisrael learned this Torah along the way for the 38 years that they wandered around in the desert, or didn't wander around in the desert, right? Didn't necessarily wander. So there is a comment, I just wanted to show you, you know, show and tell kind of thing. because the people make a mistake. One of the early Perushim, and good Perush on Rashi, the Rashi has been the subject of hundreds of commentaries and over 100 books dedicated to the Perush of Rashi. A kind of a pretty creative new interpretations of Rashi, or ideas that derive from Rashi, was penned by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who had a very serious interest in Rashi. They put out, it was the Lubavitcher Rebbe mentioned all this stuff in these lectures that he gave, which went on for hours and hours. So the students, of his students, they take out pieces and put them together. And one of the pieces is Rashi. And there are several books collecting the Chidushim of the Lubavitcher Rebbe about Rashi. So that Rashi has been the subject of interpretation. Not since Rashi was written, but more or less from this book called the Sefer HaZikaron. That's what the Parashat written by somebody named Avraham Bakrat, Kuf Resh Aleph Tet. I never heard that name. But he was exiled from Spain in 1492. Right? 1492, I never realized how important the date it was. I thought it had something to do with Columbus or something, but I was mistaken. 1492 seems to be the great turning point in Jewish history. Not because the Jews, I mean, of course, it was the Jews getting kicked out of Spain, and then 8 years later they got kicked out of Portugal. And that's, of course, an annoyance. But as a result, there was a tremendous spread of Kabbalah, which was located before that time in Spain, you know, heavily located in Spain, and then the exile from Spain and Portugal brought Kabbalah to the attention of the entire Jewish people, from Holland to Tzfat to, you know, all of Western Europe, Eastern Europe a little bit, and then Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yosef Karo, who is, you know, I mean, I could say something bombastic, but even if you subtract the bombast, it's probably not far from accurate, you know, who was the greatest scholar of his day and knew everything, was also Mimigurashay Svarat. He was a child when his family was kicked out of Spain, and eventually they ended up in Svarat. So this book is called Sefer Zikaron, and it's a commentary to the Perush of Rashi, right? Published recently, Tavshin Lamed Ches. I mean, published in a nicer edition. So in any event, the Sefer Zikaron says this, Levisha Lichorad Nir Esh. I don't have it on the sheet. I couldn't find it in the Google. Probably my ineptitude, but I mean everything is in the Google, right? But I couldn't find it. Korah Nir Esh Brayta Azot Ba'avrak Lalot Pratoteha B'Diktukeh Misinai. Ramezit Lemashik Adumi Dinei Shmita B'Parasha Azot. He says, as we said. I mean, maybe we got it from him, but we said that when you talk about pratim, klalim, pratim, where are the pratim? The pratim are in Bahar. V'sheratzu zal lomar, mashmita ne'emur kolotel deklum yisinai kemoshe kadu v'parashah zot avkulot. So that's what the Chachamim meant to say. That just like Shemitah, so too everything. Just like by Shemitah, the Klalim HaMisinai and the Pratim HaMisinai, so to all the mitzvot are that way. Avkulav ezeh lo yitachein, he says. He says, I don't get it. Devishlova klalotel anu ro'im shenem rukan. Avo diktukea. Kol ma shabba mi pertei dinem ha-sakha le'idu Allah, she'im ha-sakha tshvi'it lo nem rukan. He says, I understand. Here there are more details in Bahar than there are in Mishpatim, but not more than there are in the Gemara and Shviz. Whereas if you learn about Shemitah in the Gemara, so you confront endless details, endless notions and ideas, endless problems of understanding. So how could you say that these are the Pratim? That's the question that he asks. To answer that question, I would like to look at the sheet again. You see, Vayikra Perek Zayin Pasuk Lamed Chet. Right now, you remember this is the parasha Tzav. So you remember that the parasha Yot of Vayikra and Tzav, the first two parasha Yot of Vayikra, are about the different korbanot that you can bring or that you have to bring. And they brought them in the desert to the Mishkan, the tabernacle. The tabernacle was like the Beit HaMikdash would be later on. And in the tabernacle they brought these korbanot. The pasuk that ends this list of korbanot, Asher tziva Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai, ביום סבתות בני ישראל להקריב את קורבניהם להשם במדבר סיני. So again, it says about the korbanot that they were given by Har Sinai. But that seems odd. This parashiyot Vayikra and Tzav was said after they built the Mishkan. After they were ready to serve korbanot, to make korbanot in the Mishkan. So that certainly took place after they left Har Sinai. So how did the pasuk say, "Asher tziva Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai, b'yom tzavoto et b'nei Yisrael lakriv et korbanehem l'Hashem midbar Sinai"? What does that mean? They weren't at Har Sinai; they were long gone from Har Sinai. So the Ramban, we can't do the whole Ramban, but the Ramban says, Al derech rabotenu, rei Torat Kohanim b'har parasha Aleph. This is, he quotes the same Torat Kohanim Sifra that Rashi quotes in Bahar. Here we are in Tzav, Vayikra Tzav, right, the second parasha in Vayikra. He says, Ki kol ha-mitzvot ne'emru le-Moshe b'har Sinai, this is a quote. And then they are repeated in Olam Moed. Vine mitzvot vayikra shnuyot. And so that's what it means. Now, he says, Al derech hapshat shiuro asher tziva Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai, uviyom tzavoto et b'nei Yisrael b'mar Sinai, לקריב את קורבנהם להשם כי ציווה במילואים בהר סיני וכן בעולה וחטאת וציווה במנחה והשם מנוחי תשלומים בהר סיני בעול מועד ויתכן. You see that the third wide line. כי טעם בהר סיני b'mekom hazeh lifnei har Sinai. So here is the big finish of the Ramban. The Ramban says, well, maybe when the Torah says b'har Sinai, it means you're still sort of under the influence of har Sinai. You may have gone on your way, you may be traversing the desert, but you're still feeling or under the inclination of har Sinai. You're under that inclination of har Sinai. So I think that that what the Ramban is dealing with is another question. Not the question of klalim and pratim, etc. He's simply asking the question of how could they say it's b'har Sinai? I mean, they learned the Torah after they left har Sinai. It's true that it was not 38 years. We're not talking about 38 years in the desert. That took place after Chayta Meraglim, but they weren't at har Sinai. God told them to move, and they moved. So the Ramban comes along with this idea and he says, well, maybe har Sinai doesn't mean you had har Sinai. Maybe it means you sort of like geography was not exactly so perfect a enterprise. They didn't have every quadrant named on the map. So that har Sinai was alone in the desert. And as you left har Sinai, you still thought of yourself as being in har Sinai. That's what the Ramban says here in Perek Zion. But I would like to add to that the following. According to the Ramban, the experience of har Sinai, right, the Ramban, the beginning of Truma, the parasha of Truma, the experience of har Sinai is not something that we go back to. We don't go looking for har Sinai. This the Rabbeinu Bechaya says it. We don't go looking for har Sinai. We don't take trips to har Sinai. We have no interest in har Sinai. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says, how come? How come we're not interested in har Sinai? We're interested in going to places where things happened. We go to places where things happen. We go to Emek HaOleh and we say, oh, here, Moses, here, David HaMelech killed Goliath. What all we see are these dishes, which doesn't exactly fit the idea of David HaMelech and Goliath. But we say that. Don't we say, oh, we point here and we point there, and you say, this is where this happened, this is where that happened. And we don't have an interest, according to Rabbeinu Bechaya, we don't have an interest in har Sinai. And the reason that we don't have an interest in har Sinai is because we took har Sinai with us. How did we take har Sinai with us? Because har Sinai is the Mishkan. The Mishkan was built, according to the Ramban, explained by the Rabbeinu Bechaya, according to the Ramban, explained by the Rabbeinu Bechaya, that har Sinai is an idea. And it's an idea that can be transmitted from one place to another. It's not located in that place. It's not like, you know, people think you have to go to the Kotel to daven. So if I'm not at the Kotel, I won't daven. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. Har Sinai is an idea. And it's an idea that the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate what he desires to people. It's an idea. And that idea was reproduced in the Mishkan, where there were boundaries and there were limits and there was a place, central place that only Moshe Rabbeinu could go into, and the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai. So Har Sinai, maybe, according to these two statements of the Ramban, the statement here in Vayikra, Tzav, in the parish of Tzav, and the statement of the Ramban in Truma, if you put them together, you get this idea. You get this idea that Har Sinai doesn't necessarily mean the specific mountain of Sinai, but Har Sinai means the idea of Har Sinai, which we carried with us into the desert, which eventually morphed into the Beit HaMikdash. Right? The Beit HaMikdash was a place where there was special kind of closeness between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the people. That's what the Beit HaMikdash was. The same thing as the Mishkan, the same thing as the event of Har Sinai. So it may be that we should read the pasuk in that way. The Be'er Moshe, the Har Sinai Lemor, doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu received all the information at Har Sinai physically, but at the idea of Har Sinai, carrying the idea of Har Sinai with him, he, Moshe Rabbeinu, received Har Sinai, received the Torah as he went along, because it was always Har Sinai. That's all there was. Har Sinai. Okay.